Take our Bibles and turn over to Judges chapter 6. A couple weeks ago, we left off at verse 13 of Judges chapter 6. The angel of the Lord, and I told you I thought the angel of the Lord was Jesus. He had come to Gideon and said to him, "The Lord is with thee, thy mighty man of valor," the last part of verse 12. And last time we ended with verse 13, where Gideon said back, he said, "Oh, my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites." And so we start tonight in verse 14. And the Lord, and notice in verse 14, it doesn't say the angel of the Lord anymore. It uses the name Lord or Jehovah. "And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee?" And so the Lord didn't answer Gideon's question. Gideon asked, "Well, if you're with us, why has all this happened? Where's all the miracles that our fathers told us about? It seems to me that you've forsaken us and that you're not really with us." And so rather than answer that question, God just said, "Hey, just get up. Quit whining. Quit complaining." I'm sort of putting it in my own words. "Quit whining. Quit complaining. Get up and go fight the Midianites. I'm sending you." God still works that same way today. You know, it's okay for us to go to him with questions, but much of the time, he doesn't answer those questions. He does the same thing to us that he says to Gideon: "Come on, just get up and go. I got a job for you to do. Take your eyes off the circumstances and get about doing what I told you to do." You know, most of the time, if he tried to answer the questions why or explain to us what he was doing, we couldn't understand it anyway. I mean, his ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And, I mean, if God would take the time, and I'm sure sometimes he does this to some people. He might give us clarity of mind, and we might be able to look at a situation and say, "I know exactly what God is doing, trying to do in my life as he's putting me through this set of circumstance." But most of the time, he doesn't do that. Most of the time, he just says, "Look, I know what I'm doing. Just trust me. Just trust that I'm going to work this out for good, for you. I know what I'm doing. Just quit whining, quit complaining. Just get up and get back to business. Get back to what I want you to do." And that's what he told Gideon. So in verse 15, and Gideon answers, and he said unto him, "Oh, my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house." Gideon, like many people that God calls, says, "Hey, you got the wrong guy. I mean, you know, how can I save Israel? My family is the poorest in our tribe, the tribe of Manasseh." And he says, "And I'm the least in my father's house. I'm the runt of the family. Certainly you can't mean me. Certainly you can't have the right guy." And I would just remind you, oftentimes God has a hard time using those that think they can. Most of the time he uses those who think they can't. Because if you think you can, then you don't depend on God very much. But those of us that know we can't have to depend on God to get done what he wants us to do. Verse 16, "And the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man." So I was thinking about these first three verses as you were singing the song. I mean, when the answers aren't there, because God didn't give Gideon an answer, it's just enough that Jesus is there. And that's what Jesus told Gideon. "I'll be with you. Don't worry about it. Don't worry that that your family is poor in your tribe, and don't worry that you're the least of your family. I'm going to be with you. I'm the one that's sending you, and I will go with you, and you'll smite the Midianites as one man." In other words, here's what that verse is saying. It may look like they have a bunch of folks, and they do. But you're going to beat them like there's only one. You're going to have so much strength, you're going to have so much power, and it's going to come from me, and you're going to go against that enemy, and even though they outnumber you from a pure number standpoint, you're going to beat them like you're fighting just an army of one. Now, at this point, in the next few verses, Gideon asked for a sign. He said, sometimes we might think, well, he must not trust a God very much. But again, I want you to think and remember what God was asking him to do. The Midianites had oppressed Israel for 7 years. You remember we talked about it a couple weeks ago. They would wait till the Israelites did all the work, planted the crops, and then they would come at harvest time and take everything. I mean, the only stuff the Israelites had left is what they could hide in the caves that they were hiding in. The Midianites would come and take everything else. And again, the Bible says they greatly impoverished the Israelites and had them outnumbered. And so here was God saying, hey, Gideon, I want you to rise up against this people and defeat them. Now, I don't think it was his lack of trust of God. I think it was Gideon just wanting to make sure, God, I just want to make sure I understood what you want me to do. I don't want there to be any doubt. And so this is not the only one he's going to ask for. If we get to it tonight, he's going to ask for a couple more. But here's what he says in verses 17 and 18. And he said unto him, if now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. Depart not hence, I pray thee, until I come unto thee, and bring forth my present and set it before thee. And he said, and God said, I will tarry until thou come again. So Gideon said, now, if it's really you, and you are talking to me, and I've understood what you want me to do, then I'd like a sign. I want you to stay here. I'm going to go prepare a present, a gift, a sacrifice for you, and I'd like you to stay until I get back. And God said, okay, I will tarry. I will wait till you get back. Verse 19, and Gideon went in, and again, he went in and made ready a kid and unleavened cakes of an ephah of flour. The flesh he put in a basket, and he put the broth in a pot and brought it out unto him under the oak and presented it. You remember when God came to Abraham, when God told Abraham, I'm getting ready to go down to Sodom. I'm going to destroy the city. Abraham said, well, would you stay here and let me bring you a meal? And you remember Abraham went and told his servant, you go get it ready. Here's Gideon said, no, I'm going to get it ready myself. So he went and prepared a kid and some loaves. Now again, I want you to think about how much value his present had. Because again, he was part of a people that the Midianites had greatly impoverished, and so this kid and bread that he was bringing is probably what his family was going to eat over the next few days. It's not like they had an abundant supply of food. And so to bring this kid and this bread out was a sacrifice on his part, and he was offering it as a sacrifice. An animal and some bread. He was bringing, I mean, I'm not sure what they offered on the altar of Baal. I don't know if they probably worshiped Baal the same way with an animal sacrifice. And maybe when Gideon took this animal, it was an animal that was destined for Baal. But he took it and brought it to God as a sacrifice. Look at verse 20. And the angel of God said unto him, take the flesh and the unleavened cakes and lay them upon this rock and pour out the broth. And he did so. So he brought his sacrifice. He brought his gift, his present to the Lord. And the Lord said, okay, here's a rock, a cold, old, ordinary rock. Put the flesh on the rock, put the bread on top of the flesh, and pour the broth over it. Verse 21, then the angel of the Lord put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the flesh and the unleavened cakes, and there rose up fire out of the rock and consumed the flesh and the unleavened cakes. Then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. So Gideon did what God told him to do. And just get it in your mind. Just get a picture of this. The Lord, or the angel of the Lord, again, took his staff, touched the flesh, touched the bread, and fire came up out of the rock and consumed it. Now, if God could send water out of a rock for Moses, it wasn't any harder for him to send fire out of a rock for Gideon. If God could send fire, and it hadn't happened yet, but it'll happen, you know, in the future. If God could send fire from heaven for Elijah on Mount Carmel to burn up the sacrifice, it wasn't any harder for him to send fire from this rock to burn the sacrifice for Gideon. And as he burned that sacrifice, what he was saying to Gideon, I've accepted your gift. I've accepted your sacrifice. You offered it as a sacrifice. I've accepted it as your God. Verse 22, and when Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, alas, O Lord God, for because I've been seen an angel of the Lord face to face. He thought he was going to die. He thought because he had talked to this angel of the Lord, or to the Lord, and saw his face, that he was going to die. He knew you couldn't look at God and live. And the Lord, verse 23, and the Lord said unto him, peace be unto thee, fear not, thou shalt not die. God said, don't worry about it. You're not going to die. Just don't worry about it. Verse 24, then Gideon built an altar unto the Lord. So he built an altar. I mean, again, he had put his sacrifice on this stone that God had made into an altar and sent fire from it to burn up the sacrifice. Now Gideon built an altar. Oh, and by the way, the fact that this angel of the Lord just disappeared added to Gideon's fright that he was going to die. I mean, he didn't walk away. He just disappeared. I mean, fire from the rock, and he then just disappeared. And Gideon said, I'm going to die. God said, no, you're not going to die. And then Gideon built this altar, and he called it Jehovah Shalom, which means the Lord is peace. Because God said to him, don't worry, you're not going to die. Peace be unto thee. Verse 25, and it came to pass the same night. Now again, you remember, the angel of the Lord found Gideon threshing wheat behind the wine press. He was hiding from the Midianites. He'd taken a little bit of the wheat and was threshing it for his family during the day. And that's when God came to him, called him into service, said, I'm going to use you to defeat the Midianites. That same night, verse 25, that the Lord said unto him, take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath, and cut down the grove that is by it. So the same night, I mean, God, after he called Gideon into service, and this is what I'm going to do, he's now, that same night, coming to Gideon with his first set of instructions. Your father has two bullocks. I want you to take them, and I want you to use them to throw down the altar that your father has to Baal. And then I want you to cut down the grove that's by it. They would plant trees by these altars to Baal as a natural temple, so to speak. It would beautify the spot where the altar was. And so God said to Gideon, I want you to throw down the altar, and I want you to cut down the grove. And he said in verse 26, and built an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock in the ordered place, and take the second bullock and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the grove which thou shalt cut down. So he says, I want you to get the altar to the false god out of the way. I want you to tear it down. I want you to cut down the grove. And then I want you to build, again, the altar he built that we talked about earlier was near the wine press. It was a place that, it was not a prominent place. It was a place where Gideon was hiding. Now God said, now I want you to go to the prominent place that your dad has the altar to Baal. I want you to tear it down, cut down the grove, build an altar to God, and offer the bullocks as sacrifices. You see, God wants and appreciates our private devotion. He enjoys those times when we get by ourselves in a place where nobody else knows, and we offer our praise to Him. He loves times like that. But there's also times when He wants us to be out in front of everybody so that everybody can see our devotion to Him. And He wants us out in the open to confess that He is God and to offer our worship to Him. Gideon, I appreciated the altar that you built when it was just me and you. But now I want you to go to this rock where everybody can see it, and I want you to build an altar, and I want you to offer a sacrifice. And by the way, I want you to use the wood you cut down from Baal's Grove. I want you to use that wood to offer the sacrifice. Use that wood. Verse 27, then Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord had said unto him. And so it was because he feared his father's household and the men of the city that he could not do it by day, that he did it by night. Now, I sort of think that it was that night that God told him to do it. Gideon didn't waste any time. He didn't wait for tomorrow. He did it that night. He probably had to go out and wake up 10 of his servants and say, come on, guys, we got a job to do. Here's what we're going to do. Verse 28, and when the men of the city arose early in the morning, behold, the altar of Baal was cast down, and the grove was cut down that was by it, and the second bullock was offered upon the altar that was built, and they said one to another, who hath done this thing? And they inquired and asked, they said, the son of Joash, Gideon, hath done this thing. Then the men of the city said unto Joash, bring out thy son that he may die. That was the penalty for tearing down Baal's altar and cutting down the grove, because he has cast down the altar of Baal and because he hath cut down the grove that was by it. So when the men of the city got up the next morning, they saw Gideon's handiwork and they said, who did it? Now, I don't know who told, but somebody told. Somebody was... well, never mind. Somebody told. They found out. And they said, bring him out. He needs to die. He needs to pay the price for what he has done. And Joash, who was Gideon's dad, said unto all that stood against him. Now, again, Joash was a prominent leader of this tribe. Will ye plead for Baal? Will ye save him? He that will plead for him, let him be put to death. While it is yet morning, if he be a god, let him plead for himself, because one hath cast down his altar. Now remember, this was Gideon's dad's altar that was tore down. Okay? I mean, he was the one that built it. And now, when the men of that place want to kill the guy that tore it down, here's Gideon's dad saying, just a minute. Why are you pleading for Baal? I mean, and again, he's defending his son, but he's also realizing, I think, the error of his ways. He says, why are you as Israelites pleading for this false god? If Baal's really God, he doesn't need you to defend him. If he's really God, let him get the guy that tore down his altar. If he's really God, let him get the one that cut down the grove. He doesn't need, if he's really God, he does not need us to take care of this matter. He will take care of it himself. Therefore, on that day, again, Joash, on that day, he called him Jerubbaal, saying, let Baal plead against him because he hath thrown down his altar. And so his dad gave him a new name, and that name was in defiance to Baal, because he knew what Gideon was about to do. He was about to lead an army and fight the Midianites, and that new name that he gave him means, if Baal can do anything to stop him, let him. That's what the name means. If Baal can do anything to get back at this guy who tore down his altar, cut down the grove, if Baal can do anything to stop what's about to happen to these people that worship him, Let him do it. And if he's really God, then he can do it. But if he's not God, he doesn't need our help. Then all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of the east were gathered together and went over and pitched in the valley of Jezreel. So the enemy is gathering. Some people think they gathered because Gideon tore down the altar. Most people think it was just harvest time. And like they had done so the past 6 years, they were coming to take the harvest after the Israelites had done all the work. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, and Abiezer was gathered unto him. Abiezer was the very people that wanted to kill him because he tore down the altar and cut down the grove. So the very people who just the day before wanted to kill him, now that he was leading an army to fight the Midianites, says, okay, we'll fight with you. And he sent messengers throughout all Manasseh, his tribe, who also was gathered unto him. And he sent messengers unto Asher and unto Zebulun and unto Naphtali, and they came up to meet them. And Gideon, so now Gideon has gathered an army. And by the way, we'll see next week that God said, you got too many men, we got to get rid of some of them. Another test of his faith. But in the last four verses there of the chapter, Gideon asked for another sign. He said, now, God, I just want to make sure that what you call me to do is what you really want me to do and that you really want me to do it now. So here's what I'd like you to do. I'm going to put some fleece out. And tomorrow morning, I would like the dew to wet the fleece, but the ground all around the fleece to be dry. God said, okay. So Gideon put the fleece out. He got up the next morning on the ground all around the fleece. It was dry. He went over to the fleece, and God not only made it wet, he made it really wet because Gideon was able to pick it up and wring it out and wring a whole bowl of water out. See, when God does something, he just doesn't do it. He does it all the way. I mean, he made it not only wet, he made it wringing wet. And Gideon said, now, God, don't get mad at me. Because you remember when God called Moses at the burning bush and Moses was giving him all the excuses and finally said, can't you just get somebody else? And God said, Moses, I'm mad at you. The Bible says the anger of the Lord came out against Moses. No, I want you to do it. So Gideon said, now, God, don't get mad at me. I'm just going to ask you. I'm going to ask you one more time. He was like Abraham. Remember when Abraham was begging for Lot's life and trying to save the city of Sodom? What if there's 50 good people? God said, well, I'll save it. Oh, what if there's only 45? And what if there's only 40? What if there's only 30? What if there's only 20? And God, and the last thing Abraham said, now, God, please don't be mad at me. What if there's only 10? Well, that's what Gideon said. Now, please don't be mad at me. I just wanted to ask you one more thing. This time I'll put the fleece out. Let the fleece be dry and let the ground be wet all around it. And God said, okay. So we got up the next morning, the fleece was dry, and Brother Don had done say, I think that there was a mud pile, all not only wet, it was wet. I mean, when God does something, he doesn't do it halfway, he does it all the way. And Gideon says, okay, I got it, I'll go. Now again, next week we'll talk about, he's got all this army, and God says, you got too many, we got to get rid of some of them. He's going to test his faith again. But God showed them. He said, I want you to do it. And if you want a sign, I'll give you a sign. I'll make the fleece wet, and then I'll make it dry. All right, thank you for being here tonight. Sorry I kept you over a couple minutes. Let's stand. We have a word of prayer and be dismissed.